You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. You are now going to hear from some callers on our issue tonight, which is social media and the issue of domestic violence. And so we do have a caller on the line at this time that will probably be joining us in a few moments. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a call at 404-880-9255. Want to talk a little bit more about the issue of safety as it relates to social media. And one of the things that we were just talking with Tamika Daniel about was what you could do to safeguard yourself on the issue of social media. If in fact you believe that someone is following you. And so the first thing I would recommend is that you Google yourself, because a lot of times people don't realize how much is actually on the internet about themselves. And so what you may want to do is Google yourself and see, are photographs out there? Is there something that identifies your location? If in fact your address is available and you want to have that concealed, you can also attempt to do that. But I want to recommend that you Google yourself and see what photographs are out there. And then also, if you're on Facebook, you may periodically view photos of you to see what's on there, just to make sure that the photographs that you have on your Facebook page or Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media outlet you have, really displays what you want it to display, and you're showing photographs to people that you want them to see. Make sure that your privacy settings are set in a way that only your friends and family that you friended on Facebook are actually people that have access to your information. That's really, really important. And especially if you have young people, you want to talk to them about their internet use and to make sure that you are putting them in a position where they can go onto the internet and be involved in social media, but do it in a way that's safe for them. So what I want to do now is take another caller. We have Joseph on the line from New York City. Joseph?
Yes. Thanks for taking a few moments to let me know.
And thank you for calling us all the way down in Atlanta from New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. I live part-time down in Douglasville, so, and I have a good relationship with Clark Atlanta. So I really want to talk about this.
Okay.
You know, I think one of the things that we really have to understand is, since the 1980s, there seems to have been a more of a devaluation of ourselves as people of color, you know, and women have been looked at more as chattel. So rather than seeing them as people, they've kind of been dehumanized on a large scale. So it makes it all right for some of these young guys to say whatever they want to say or do what they want to, whatever they want to do. And I think we have to develop some pride about who we are and what we're supposed to be about. And understand that these things are paramount of importance. You know, our culture is one that built this nation, and it built a lot of other cultures as well. And if we don't constantly repeat these kinds of things and actually work with that knowledge, then this, which happens in social media, happens in a lot of different areas, in other places, not just in the street or in our educational institutions, but also in our fraternal organizations, which by large are educated people who've been through multiple degrees. You know, it's a dialogue that we have to start having from the middle school arena and moving through college. And maybe after, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, maybe 10 years, there'll be a change. Because people start to understand that there's this idea of slavery that we've had from a couple of hundred years ago is still a dialogue that keeps running back and forth through our life. We don't actually address it.
Joseph, I think you bring up a very good point about just the devaluation. I know you mentioned people of color, but I think when we talk about the issue of domestic violence, it's really a devaluation of people in general. Just because we have not decided that we want to place appropriate value on what level of respect you give to individuals. And I think that you brought up some very good points about the fact that we have to value human life, we have to value other individuals, and if we value those relationships, then our response will not be a response where we decide that we should abuse, whether it's physically, emotionally, financially, or sexually, another person. And so I'm glad that you brought to the forefront the fact that this conversation does need to happen across genders and also across generations, because I think it's really important for us to look at. And I know Tamika Daniel, who was speaking with us a few moments ago, talked about her initiative being a teenage initiative. The Partnership Against Domestic Violence also has a teen dating violence component, where we recognize if we don't change the perceptions of young people at a very young age, then we're not going to be able to find ourselves in a position of really dealing with the issue of domestic violence and having the impact that we hope that we could have. And that's to eliminate it. And so I appreciate your feedback with regards to that, and also the very important discussion of looking at not only the adults that are engaging in this conduct, but also the teenagers that are engaging in it. We also have another call on the line now, Mike in Atlanta.
Yes, how are you today?
Fine, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. First of all, I want to let you know that thank you for taking my phone call as a host. And I was really calling to address your guest because I was really impressed about the conversation you guys were having about this domestic violence. It's prevalent in our community, not only because people think that they have the right to put their hands on one another. But the thing about it is, I did not like the fact that I think the guy, his name is Frederick, there was a guy before him, he called and he gave Ms. Daniels a scenario about when women are aggressive toward men. And the thing that got me, she had me, always she kind of glossed over the fact that women are aggressive toward men, regardless of whether maybe their background, their father might have been abusive, or they might have some other kind of relationship before that person they was with. I just want to give you a small example. I was married for 13 years, 2 children. My wife jumped on me 6 times, put a knife to my throat. I never touched her. She did it in front of my children. When I decided to divorce her after 13 years of this abuse, she called the police on me because I didn't have any type of criminal history to make the police think or have me some sort of record so she can get the kids and get child support to say I was trying to hurt my children. And this is the same woman that wanted me and always keep calling me to get my kids. But I'm the same person she said that was hurting them. So I just wanted Ms. Daniels to know, and I know she's an advocate, because I know that domestic violence is mostly toward men. But if you think about this, as black men, it's 2 things we don't do. We don't go to the doctor. And we don't call the police when our women are abusive to us. So,
Mike, what I also think, I'm glad that you brought up those issues. And what I will say is this, that as I indicated at the beginning of the segment, you know, we do recognize that both women and men can be victims of domestic violence. And statistically, I can tell you that 1 in 4 women will be victims of domestic violence. 1 in 7 men will be victims of domestic violence. And so what we as advocates, Tamika Daniel at Georgia Legal Services and myself for the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, focus on is really the issue that no one should be a victim of domestic violence, male or female. And also, you know, there's conversations strictly about heterosexual relationships, but we also have to look at same-sex relationships as well, where it may be a man and a man and a woman that are involved in relationships. So I don't think that there's ever the concern that only males are involved in domestic violence or only females are involved in domestic violence. What we like to focus on as advocates is the very real issue that no one should be a victim of intimate partner violence. No one should be hit. No one should have a financial injury, sexual abuse, or any type of emotional abuse because they choose to no longer remain in a relationship with someone or because they're involved in a relationship with someone. And so, while I appreciate your story with regards to your relationship, I do want to say that there's never been the belief that it only impacts women. It does primarily impact women. And so I think when you hear conversations about it, that you're largely hearing the fact that the majority of the people that are impacted by intimate partner or family violence would be women and children. You are listening to A Call to True Beauty on WCLK. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. to discuss the issue of domestic violence and social media. We want to thank all of the callers who called in to express their views and also to ask questions of our guest, who was Tamika Daniel, the supervising attorney for the Macon Regional Office of Georgia Legal Services. This program, the Call to Tribute, is held the first Wednesday of each month from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. and is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next month.
You've been listening to the Call to True Beauty. If you want more information about support for anyone in an abusive relationship or situation, you can reach the Partnership Against Domestic Violence at 404-873-1766 or visit their website at padv.org. You can listen to this program on demand and hear all the calls at wclk.com. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless. Cheryl Selloway is the executive producer. The show is produced for WCLK by Donna Brock and myself, Rob Maynard, your announcer. Thanks for listening to The Call to True Beauty.